Hello and welcome to this week's God is a Geek podcast. I'm your host, Chris Hyde, and I am joined by the lovely Chris White.
Hello.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Not too
bad. Good stuff.
But it's not just me and you, Chris. We're also joined by Mr. Adam Carroll.
Hello.
Hello, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. I've got hay fever to the max again. Aww. Love being on this podcast with a busy nose.
You got your tissues ready.
Oh, man, look at this bad boy. This is where you should sign up.
Yes.
an interesting little insight for the people that are watching on video who's just seen Adam's lovely snot rag.
Yeah, I know.
High definition.
Glorious.
Guys, there's not been as many games this week as there were last week. Last week, there was a ridiculous amount of games. It seems like they were all saved up for last week, and then it's a quieter week this week. Mm. But we're actually going to start with news, and particularly the Nintendo Direct that recently happened. Lots of announcements, and I know there's a few Nintendo fans in the room, so I'm really interested to talk through the announcements with you on how we feel about them. So I guess the first announcement from the Direct was about Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, the announcement of the new DLC character of Pyra and Mithra from Xenoblade Chronicles 2. So, gentlemen, thoughts?
I'm the wrong person to ask.
You're the wrong person.
I've never played Xenoblade, so it means nothing to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's going to be cool.
Yeah, there was a lot of people looking for Kingdom Hearts, I think. For Smash, a lot of people are requesting that. I don't know what the general consensus is towards Xenoblade
characters. Having Sora in it would be shit. I'd rather have Crash Bandicoot or something like that.
Yeah. I think it for me, it's one of those ones where, like, Xenoblade Chronicles is emerging, I guess, as a pretty sizable franchise for Nintendo, certainly in recent consoles. So
they push it. Like.
Yeah, and you know, Shulk's already in there, so it makes sense. I think given that they obviously didn't put Rex in, he's a Mii fighter skin, isn't he? Rex is the main character from Xenoblade Chronicles 2. So the fact that they've now gone for Pyra and Mithra, I mean, yeah, it's interesting. I like Smash, but. There is, I get a bit fatigued with new characters unless they're really left field. That's how I love Xenoblade Chronicles 2, by the way, and it made me smile. I almost thought, oh, it's DLC, even though I knew it probably wasn't going to be, you know, with the intro and stuff. And then she was like, oh, I've been invited to Smash. But
I love that video. It was great.
Yeah, the video was really good. They put a lot of effort into those, I think, now to try and kind of, you know, make you think one thing and then do another. But I just think, unless it is something like, say, you go, oh my God, it's Crash Bandicoot's now in Smash, or something really left field that no one's expecting. Mm. This feels a little bit like I struggle more to get, it's another Nintendo character in Smash. Whereas if it's something more left field, like, you know, when Solid Snake was announced or something like that, or Sonic or something, you're like, okay, that's a surprise. You know, even when Joker, I guess, was announced, it was, well, that's interesting, and that's different to the, I guess, what you're expecting.
Yeah.
But that was the only thing for me. I like the characters. I'm invested in them because I like Xenoblade Chronicles 2, and it's one of those games that spent a lot of time on.
This isn't going to make you just go and boot up Smash and get this.
No, like... exactly. I think it's exactly that. That's definitely not how I left feeling, but it's like, I know a lot of people will go, okay, yeah, fair enough. Like, they enjoy those characters. I think there could be more people that would be disappointed from all of the things I read about other people wanting, like you say, Kingdom Hearts and various other things.
Yeah.
But always the, you know, the checklist of characters. Why is it not Waluigi? All that sort of stuff that always rears its head when there's a Smash announcement. But I think it is what it is. You're never going to please everyone. But it's fine. It's not, I wasn't disappointed. It just wasn't one for me, I guess.
I think it was interesting just to kind of like, because like this Direct as well was promoted with the whole, like, it's 50 minutes with Smash news and then starting immediately with Smash, when a lot of people thought but you never know, like, how much of that 50 minutes is going to be about Smash then, you know? It's random for them. It's not random, but it's just like when they just throw one game, every Nintendo fan's hopes then and ideas start playing when they go, is it going to be 40 minutes of Smash and 10 minutes of this? Or is it going to be like Smash and then the most amazing announcements ever, you know? But yeah, more Smash characters. And
they've had previous for going far too far with Smash and putting far too much detail on the real minutia. So it's quite nice to go, right, yeah, no, here's some information. Here's Pyromitha, here's what they do. And then move on, which I thought was quite good. It was quite well paced in that sense. There was quite a lot in the direct generally. I'm going to change the order a little bit and go right to the last announcement of the direct now, which was the announcement of Splatoon 3. Now, again, I'm unaware of how much you guys have played with the Splatoon series. I personally have never really dabbled in it, so this was one that personally wasn't for me. Because I just don't have, I've never spent much time with the series, but I don't know about you guys. Adam, have you played much Splatoon?
I played a good bit of 2, a small bit of 1, a good bit of 2. I think Splatoon is great. I think it's a lot of fun. I don't have a friend who's personally like a fanatic of any sorts, but I think like the Splatoon announcement, first off, ending the direct with Splatoon 3 and its trailer being bizarre. Like, I thought the trailer was leading into some sort of like, I'm not going to say open world, but it's just like, do you know, you watch Splatoon 3 trailer and you're kind of going, oh, okay, Splatoon 3, all right. That's a weird trailer to show off. My thing as well is when they end with something like that and they give you Splatoon 3, I'm just sitting there going, where's Mario Kart 9?
I think I'm sure you were holding that sign. You hold that sign in every direct, don't you? Where's Mario Kart 9? You've been.
I absolutely do something, but fuck's sake, like not to immediately jump into swearing,
straight
but like,
in there.
You know, straight. But like, I always try to think, don't do it, but it happens when I talk about Mario Kart, and it's just like. Look, cool, Splatoon 3 ending the direct, and that makes me wonder, like, is Splatoon actually like bigger than I actually realize or something? Do you know?
I don't know the figures. I guess there's two things. One, I think it probably is. I think the user base is probably quite large. I'd need to check the exact numbers. I think given it's one of those, I guess, later franchises than the history of franchises in Nintendo, I think the user base is probably larger than we probably remember some of the other ones are. Like Metroid, for example, which we didn't hear about at all, has quite a small user base because it's based off numbers from a longer time ago when you know, the outside of the Wii and Switch era, where everyone's got those consoles. So I think it probably is quite large. And I think when you go through the list of big announcements, that's probably the biggest new news of a franchise in the entire Direct. And so therefore, you probably do end with it. But I do agree with you, especially for me personally. I'm sitting there thinking, well, I'm not invested in this franchise personally. So I'm sitting there going, for me, the Direct ended a little while ago. And also, I do agree with you that the trailer was odd because I felt like it was hinting at something that very much wasn't Splatoon for a lot of it. Where I was like, oh, is this going into some sort of Mario Odyssey type open world thing? And then it just went, nope, it's just inking and the multiplayer kind of ink arenas. And I was like, is there going to be a really in-depth story mode here that I'm not getting? Because it gave off load of vibes like that and then just sort of stopped. So maybe that's just teasing for later updates on it. But yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people will be happy with that. I think it was...
Yeah, but for us, it just wasn't a closer. It wasn't a closing thing that I wanted. And I was just a bit like, I'm not trying to... Just because I'm just not a massive Splatoon fan, I'm not saying it shouldn't be there, but I'm just kind of going, Jesus, are we ever going to get Mario Kart? Like, just give me a goddamn logo.
I mean, be honest, I don't think we will get or need Mario Kart 9 on the Switch. And I know that we don't need to have that conversation again because we'll lock heads. But
I think we don't need to have that conversation, but at least drop some new tracks or something. Just bring something new to it.
I don't care how much this game is selling. I'm delighted
with the gameplay. Like, it's perfect. It is
interesting how much they update and promote other games like Smash and Animal Crossing, which are very big sellers on the system. But the other big system seller that they could provide updates for, which is Mario Kart 8 Ultimate, they don't. And I don't know why. It's almost like they went, here's the whole package together. because that's the whole point of like the deluxe version of it. And then that's it. Ooh,
like I forgot Labo. Yeah, the old Labo controller, didn't they? So fair play.
It's an interesting point that, you know, why surely it would be, even if you had to pay for them, people would do it, right? People, if you could, like, pay for a circuit pack, people would pay for it. It's interesting that they don't, but I guess then you get into territory of development times and stuff, whether they put their resource. Because you go, well, if you do that, we'll have to wait longer for something else, and that would annoy us. Which we'll come on to when we talk about some other announcements in a bit. One of the surprises for me, the terrible name aside, was Project Triangle Strategy from Square Enix. I didn't know this was coming at all. It was a bit of a surprise, but it looks like a tactical RPG in the vein of Octopath Traveler. And frankly, inject it into my veins right now is the vibe I got from that. I don't know how you guys felt about it, but it looked lovely.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be a common theme throughout talking about this news is that I've played barely any of this. Like, I've never played Splatoon, not played Octopath. But, I mean, it does look incredible. Like, Octopath's one of those games I've always wanted to play, mainly because of the art style.
Mm-hmm.
But then discussions on the pod kind of put me off a little bit. So I'm hoping it's a completely different type of game, not kind of focused on the different job roles within Octopath, like that kind of drags it out a bit.
Yeah, I get the sense this is probably more of a like almost Advance Wars Fire Emblem type.
Yeah, which in terms I'm
of gameplay
100% happy with, and like I love games that look like this.
Yeah,
I mean it just looks amazing, and Square Enix is good enough, and they could pull this off quite easily. So this was one of the kind of the better announcements for me out of the whole thing, one that I actually really care about. So, yeah, I mean, it looks ace.
Straight off the bat, Chris, you should definitely play Octopath.
I know.
Because I hold Octopath as in, like, it's probably one of my top five Switch games, like, hands down. Like, I just think it's amazing. It's solely, like, the art style is incredible in that kind of game. And, like, immediately when this started... What kind of makes me laugh is, like, you know, it comes out and you're like, oh, look at this, and it's like, oh, it's kind of an Octopath thing, and that's throwing all these like in-depth like story situations, gameplay, everything. It's like, and here's a demo. We just didn't nail a title of the game yet. Like,
it's so weird. I know it's something to get hung up on that really doesn't matter, but can. Even if I know it's a working title, thanks for putting that in brackets, by the way, Square Enix, because I, you know, no one thought this was actually the name, but come on, you've literally gone, it's a project. There's a three-way kind of choice system, so we'll go with triangle, and there's some strategy elements, and that's literally all you've done. That's literally like coming up with a new Mario game, going Project Jumping Plumber. It's literally no more advanced than that. You could have come up with like I don't know.
Yeah, but what if it's a really smart anagram? And then if it is,
then I will respectfully golf clap Square Enix and everyone involved.
Yeah.
But I mean, if it is, if they do this thing where it's like, and then it's a rejumble, and it's like amazing, then fair play. But I think it's just we didn't know what to call this. And
yeah,
I mean, look, I don't care about that. We've talked about how irrelevant names are in a lot of games.
Yeah, but this it's interesting this one goes. Because I think, if I remember correctly, Octopath Traveler was Project Octopath. I think that's what they just had it at first.
Yeah.
So, like, it'd be hilarious if they just went, Triangle Strategy is the name of the game.
Yeah,
like, that would then definitely be the worst game.
Triangle Strategy Traveler. All we do is just get rid of Project and put Traveler in.
I have the demo downloaded anyway of this, and I'm very excited to check it out, but like, did they say the release date was like next year?
Yeah, 2022. But, I want to say May or something. But that was a surprise for me. I was almost like, I was like, well, for playing a demo, and I'm like, oh, a demo for a game that's coming out that far away. I'm not sure I do want to play that demo now. Like, I almost want to wait. But I'm all in for this.
Yeah,
this
definitely.
Another cool little announcement was there's going to be a lot of new Mario items coming to Animal Crossing New Horizons to kind of coincide with the ongoing 35th anniversary celebrations of Mario. So there's going to be like mushrooms, coins, and outfits and warp pipes coming to Animal Crossing. So I, for one, was almost to the point where I need to go back to Animal Crossing, when they said you can put two warp pipes on your island and just warp between places. And I was like, that will speed up the flower watering. But I was like, I can't, I mean, I might go back, but I feel like I've left, part of me's left there, and that's the piece I've made with myself. But I have to say that the cosmetic stuff aside, it looks really fun. Like, you can literally look like you can make a lot of Mario themed areas and levels out. It's not just like two items. There does feel to be like quite a bit in this. And like I said, the warp pipe feels really useful as well. So it felt like a decent update.
I'd love, like, because they're bringing out furniture, like the question mark coin boxes and the mushrooms and stuff. I'd love to see like wallpaper featuring like old school Mario level surrounding your room and stuff like that.
Yeah, cool. I'm sure they've done something like that in previous games. So I wouldn't be surprised if they don't. It'd feel like a miss to me, like you said, like have a carpet and a wallpaper.
Yeah,
to kind of make a room.
Like, that would be in terms of like going back to it. I stopped playing quite substantially back in August, but I do dip back in when there's a new event or something happening, and like I'll go on for like 20 minutes, and I'll be like, cool. I'll see you in a month, and then
I went back on in the winter. It just started snowing.
Yeah,
basically, I got annoyed because everyone was having a go at me because I hadn't been around for ages, and I just found that the guys just hadn't weeded, and they're having a go at me because the place was untied. I'm like, I haven't lived here for 7 months. What have you been doing?
Cheeky little shits, aren't they?
Yeah. Look, it is one of those games that is a lovely game. And this feels like a lovely addition to it. So I'm all for it. I think it's nice. I think, like I say, a lot of people will get a lot from that. And it was almost, and I think I say almost, like I might not do a cheeky turn on just to see what it is and put some bits and bobs around. But yeah, very, of all the ones I've seen, this was the one that I was like, oh, that's
Animal Crossing is definitely probably the only game ever on the planet to get people excited about a warp pipe.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, we know
your thoughts, Mr. Misery.
Don't say that. I was very happy. Like last night in our Discord channel, we were all talk about this, which, by the way, everyone should get on the Discord channel. Just join our Patreon and in you come, and it's brilliant.
But, $1 a month.
$1 a month. Come on in. We were there last night all chatting about it. But I think somebody on Discord last night, when it all got announced, like a lot of our Patreon crew would be Animal Crossing fans, and someone said, I'm sure, that they deleted their island. And I was just, why would you do that?
Even if you're not playing on it, there's memories.
I would not be able to do that. One of the guys were talking about it a little while ago. I had to leave the chat because they were talking about how many flowers they'd had to pull up, and I was like, oh no, I can't bring myself to do that. But yeah, like I don't get why you would just destroy it. Like that's like all my hard work, my blood, sweat, and tears for months just gone.
Yeah. But there we go. Warp pipes.
Indeed, warp pipes. So I think it's fair to say, certainly what me and Adam were hoping for and expecting in this direct was update on Zelda. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Adam, because you're probably the Zelda expert on this. Was it actually 35 years to the day Zelda 1, or is it just still in the realms of
The first Zelda we talked about.
Was it to the day? Was it that direct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think based on that, we're all thinking, right, okay, they've chosen that date because there's going to be the same or a similar breadth of at least announcements, even if they don't all land like now in the next couple of months like they did with Mario. This is the direct for Zelda announcements. That was what I was assuming. And what we got, and we'll talk about them separately, was the announcement of Skyward Sword HD coming to Switch, and actually no update on Breath of the Wild 2, and that we will get an update on that at a later date. So I want to come to you first, Adam Carroll, because I think the conversation is going to be a bit divided, particularly on Skyward Sword HD. So I wanted to come to you first on your thoughts on this.
Yeah, the Breath of the Wild announcement was kind of, it actually was disheartening slightly. I'm not one of these people who's going to be, God, give me my game now, this year, and give it to me. I deserve it. No, but like, it's just, we have been showing it, and there has been a lot of rumors and kind of kind of leaks, I guess, going around, like it was going to come out this year and stuff, and to then just get it announced and saying, look, development isn't, it's coming along, but it's not going to be this year, and we've no news. I was a bit like, oh, like they I think as much of an upset that it is, I'm glad they just didn't beat around the bush. They just said it straight. They went blah, blah, blah. And we have to take into account here, COVID has caused all this.
I think, yeah. I think that's really fair. And I think, you know, they addressed it straight away. They knew once they started getting into the Zelda phase, if you like, they had to address that straight away, that they weren't going to show it. Because I think everyone was expecting an update because you've already teased it. A long time ago, actually, I already teased it, and so everyone's expecting an update. So I think to go straight in and do it was the right thing to do. There is the other side of me, and maybe I'm being, because I get coronavirus, and that's absolutely, no one should be forced to do anything, and safety first and everything like that. But there is a part of me, and maybe I'm being a fanboy, I don't know, but we've had announcements before from Nintendo that are literally a number on a screen. For Metroid Prime, we've not seen anything of Bayonetta 3. We've not seen, you know, Breath of the Wild 2. We've barely seen anything, and I do wonder. Whilst yes, they don't have much to show, I do wonder whether this is me unrealistic expectations because I hold my hands up about coronavirus and that is important. Whether there's anything they could have teased that would have maybe, without showing anything, they've announced Metroid Prime 4, for example, shown nothing on it. They've shown a 4. That's literally all we've got. And, you know, that tells you nothing. And I do wonder whether it's Zelda-related or anything, you know, whether there was anything there that could have been teased on top. That's probably my only feeling about it, is whether, because they've done that before, they don't have to show gameplay to tease that. They don't have to show a lot to tease anything. So that's the only kind of counterpoint I have to it. But I do understand that we have to acknowledge that the pandemic and the all the surrounding situation that puts pressure on developers and everything else, that we won't get as much as we normally do. So I'm a bit kind of conflicted about it.
Even if we weren't in like this current situation, I would have been surprised if Breath of the Wild 2 came out this year. If we weren't in a pandemic, like I think, like, if we weren't in this situation, we would have probably seen a release date. And a new trailer.
Yeah, but I agree with you. I think the thing that I was surprised we didn't see, and this is what I mean, I guess, by like a tease reveal, but no more information, is a Zelda equivalent of 3D All-Stars. Whether we're getting that or not, there's been so many fake mock-ups and stuff. But if we're getting it, you kind of feel like you could have teased that without telling anybody, because it's literally three old games anyway. Which kind of makes me worried we're not getting it. Because it's literally all old footage. You don't have to show anything. We'll just show a box and go, more information coming, I don't know, at E3 or whatever you want to say. The fact that we didn't even get that does make me wonder whether all that hype around, oh, it's definitely going to be Ocarina of Time, Wind Waker, and Twilight Princess. It still could be, by the way, because none of those games are on the Direct. But whether it is or not, because we didn't even get anything, does make you wonder... Is 3D All-Stars Zelda a fan pipe dream? Which I thought was, I don't know.
I don't know at this stage, and I feel when I love a franchise as much as Zelda, I'm just like, I got to stop reading into these things and just patient, because it is just disappointing. Like, and I think leading from the news of Breath of the Wild 2 and going, but we have this Zelda title for you, and then we get the opening of Skyward Sword, I'm not going to lie, straight away when that started, I just knew around the globe there was a high percentage of people just going, oh, I just knew a lot of people would be not happy with this. Mm-hmm. Some people, like, there is still a lot of people who haven't played this game. Like, there just has. And I've only had the chance to play it once. And I remember it so well because of, like, I do think it has some of the best dungeons in the whole franchise for me. And I think the relationship between Link and Zelda is absolutely its best in Skyward Sword. When everyone cribs about the tutorials and the control scheme, I get it, I understand. But like, I don't know, like they haven't had Skyward Sword HD, and like Wind Waker and Twilight does exist on the Wii U. It more than likely will definitely come. But I feel right now, maybe they just wanted to give something new, as a newer thing that we don't have yet, rather than just going, here's Wind Waker, because you're just going to port it straight from the Wii U, the HD version, because it's an amazingly good version of that game, as is Twilight. I think down the line, we're going to get Wind Waker and possibly Twilight. I definitely think Wind Waker, though, before Breath of the Wild 2. Like, that's just, mm-hmm. that's a definite thing in my eyes. But, like, I don't know. I think the criticisms towards Skyward, Jesus, like, people say the same goddamn things. Like, the tour, it's a long game. It's a long,
I mean, long I think, game. Look, I think, I don't disagree with you, by the way. You could feel the eye rolls, I think, when Skyward Sword, the trailer started. But I do think, to be fair, that there are criticisms leveled at that game. There's no smoke without fire in some, it's not a bad game at all. It is the only Zelda, and I've heard a lot of people say it's the only Zelda, console Zelda since Link to the Past I've not finished. Hmm. And for me to not finish a Zelda game that's kind of a big thing. For me, I consider myself a big fan of that series. And I fell off it for a multitude of reasons. Some of the ones you mentioned, I think the world feels very disconnected. Fee can fall off a cliff. There's things in that game that niggle, that irritate you a little bit, I think. Whereas in other Zelda games, there aren't. And therefore you just... You have the good dungeons and the progression and the characters and that's all it all rolls up into a lovely package. Whereas there's a lot of that, and then there's a few kind of frustrations. So I kind of get why people like are a little bit like, oh, Skyward Sword. But you're totally right. If you want to play remakes of the other ones, you can. Like, this is the only one you were ever going to get, really.
Yeah.
HD remake of it.
I don't think anyone's going to bust out the Wii and go at it. Like,
no, I think the only counterpoint, why I think people were disappointed, if you compare the Mario 35th anniversary announcement, if that had just been, here's Super Mario 3D World, no additional kind of content, it's just Super Mario 3D World, so no Bowser's Fury, and there's nothing else, all the other stuff they announced, like the Lego, the Paper Mario, there's loads that are super circuits. The loads of stuff they announced all in one go, that's kind of all we got for Zelda. And I think that's why people were a little bit disappointed. But I agree with you. I think some of it's misguided. I think a lot of people are going to play this for the first time and go, don't know what all the fuss is about. Like, yeah, I think
it's going to be very interesting to see people's reactions if they go for this game on Switch, because like,
I meant negative fuss, by the way, in terms of, I don't know what the criticism is about. They're going to enjoy the game.
Yeah. Like, they have changed. They did announce they're bringing in the control scheme of, like, the right analog to use the sword and stuff. Like, I don't know. Like, I have faith in Nintendo that, like, it might just work. Like, that side of it, you know. I think they've obviously taken into account that people don't like the motion controls all that much. So, this is that. And that's one of, like, it is the biggest criticism I feel towards the game, is it's, like, I think this game is about 50, 60 hours long. And like, you're doing, like, I did that whole thing on the Wii, and like, yeah, Jesus, it does become like, whoa, this is a journey with my wrist right now, do you know? But like, if I'm gonna
Your wrists have had a lot of practice.
Oh, absolutely. Big fan of my wrist. But like, if you're going on about control schemes in Zelda games, like, for me personally, the one I don't enjoy, I love the game. Their games, but like Phantom Hourglass, Spirit Tracks, I never liked the DS and the stylus constantly on the screen and going around the place. I just didn't. I don't like my view being blocked, and that's just one of those things I don't enjoy. Like, because there was rumors of, if the Wind Waker was coming out, that like Phantom Hourglass was going to be in some way packed in or something. That was just one of those things that were going around, and I was in my head going, "Oh, why are they going to do it?" Because if they come out again down the line, I would hope to God that they would incorporate just hand controls, and then like, look, you can circle and do all your bits and bobs, but you don't have to guide Link constantly with the stylus around the place, because that was crap. But look, Skyward, I think everyone, just if it's your first time, I think a lot of people are going to enjoy it if it's their first time, definitely. And I think those people who have played it and just complain about controls and the tutorials, I don't know why you'd go back and play it. I don't know why you would play this again then, because you know what you're getting yourself into. That doesn't change. I feel the motion controls eventually do click. and they all work well. But by God, those dungeons and some of the boss battles are just outstanding for me personally. So I wanted Skyward Sword HD. This was my, out of the three that were going around, Skyward Sword was my number one that I wanted to get. And it's a bold one to say, but it's in my top three favorite Zeldas of all time. And so
you're wrong, but it's okay.
See, that's it. that's fine. It. But I am.
If we were all the same, it'd be boring, mate.
Yeah. I'd love now if everyone came up and goes, "Do you know what Skyward Sword is actually good?" I'd be like,
"I told you so."
Yeah. So I'm very excited. I am.
Anything else, Chris? Your thoughts on it?
It's a good job you didn't talk to me about it first, because I'm not going to be a dick, and I'm not I don't want to be negative, but I don't have any huge connection to the Zelda franchise, and that's not like I love the games I've played. Like, one of my first games I remember finishing was A Link to the Past on the Game Boy, and then Link's Awakening, I played that, and then I've recently played like the remake of that. The problem, and it's nothing to do with the game or Nintendo, but my problem with Breath of the Wild is that, and Adam, you'll remember that I talked about playing through it for like putting about 30 hours in and telling you how much I loved it.
Mm.
And then my Switch was stolen and I couldn't get the data back. So I would have to start again and I can't bring myself to do that. No, so it kind of tarnishes the excitement for Breath of the Wild 2. Now, it's probably not coming out until 2023.
You got time.
I've got time to do it. But in terms of like Skyward Sword, I'm like, I've never played it. Fine, whatever. Like, I would have been happy with getting like Ocarina of Time on the Switch. And Majora's Mask even.
Yeah.
But like, it's fine that it wasn't. Mm. Like, the fact that they're doing something in this pandemic to try and make people happy.
Yeah.
Is great. So, yeah. Hang on a minute.
So let's talk actual games then. We've obviously talked a lot about the Nintendo Direct. So I know me and you have been playing Super Mario 3D World and Bowser's Fury, Adam. Mm. So I mean, I guess I'll kick off. So back when this was on the Wii U, I played this with my wife, and we've cracked it open again and started playing the 3D World again co-op. And what it's kind of reminded me of is that she plays games wrong and I play them right, and it really irritates me. But I can't say anything because I love her to bits, and this was like our evening together, free from a child, so I couldn't moan. But she's one of those people that will go, okay, right, we'll just play the level and then we'll move on to the next one, ignoring whether we pick up any stars along the way or any stamps or we get the top of the flagpole.
Point A to B.
Just see the next level, because that would be nice, wouldn't it? Well, no. And there's me twitching, going, that's fine. Let's just move on to the next one and never finish the game properly. But it's fine, because behind her back, I've created a new save file that I'm playing and playing it properly. And going, right, we're going to get all these stars, and we're not going to move on until we've got all the stars, stamps, and hit the top of the flagpole, because that is the way you have fun and play Super Mario 3D World. So that's what I've been doing. So I've been playing with my wife, and then behind her back properly. And it's lovely. I think, you know, I don't need to go over the old ground. This game, the level design's great, the controls are great, the music is wonderful, and it's so nice to just go back and relive it again. It feels really nice, plays really well. I've played the same first 10 levels twice, both co-op and solo. But so there's plenty more still to do. But I'm loving it. It's a really good Mario game. It's not the best one. I'll still stand that I think there are certain games in the series that are better. I still think Odyssey is better, but it's lovely. And if you've not played it, you really should. It's a lovely game.
Yeah. I think like I'm with you there on everything that you said, including that it's not the best Mario game. I do think Odyssey is my favorite Mario game, and that was like really highlighted when I was playing Bowser's Fury,
which is because I've not played that part yet, so I'm interested to hear your thoughts on it.
So like Bowser's Fury is unbelievable. It is just top drawer. I think the idea, like, I don't know if you've seen the general idea, both of you, but like, I didn't know what I was getting myself into for it. I think like the idea is sound the whole way through. It does get to a stage personally where I feel like, you know, the appearance of Bowser and just like him dropping all the stuff down and all that jazz. Like, I think like after the, I don't know, at least the 10th or 15th time or something, you know the ropes of it, you know, and it doesn't really become that much of a hassle, really. I think starting off, oh, what's going on here? It's all this chaos, and it feels great. I think if they were to go down the line with that kind of idea, the creativity that Nintendo do deliver, I think with something like this, it would be just wild. I think they could do some really, really mad stuff. But given that this is like, it was just thrown onto the package with no real knowledge of what we were getting. Was it going to be just like an hour long? Was it going to be just like, I got all the 100% of the game and stuff. And geez, I don't know my time play on it. Like, but, Good few hours.
Yeah, I think Adam said like 4 or 5 hours of content there, and probably more to get all of it. Probably more to get all of it.
But it's so much fun. It's all, the whole little map is so tight. It's all designed well, which is no surprise. Mm. It's no surprise when it's going to be a Mario game, you know. But it just made me kind of go, Jesus, Odyssey, I've booted up Odyssey and I'm playing that again. Like, that game is just chef's kiss all the way. But like, I think 3D World, if you've never played it, this is the definitive package, mm-hmm. no question, because of Bowser's Fury being included. It's just Mario's great. Mm. He's just like, that's just all I can, like, I was playing, and I remember as I was going through it, I text Adam, and I just said to him, I just goes, man, Nintendo, when they get it right, it's just, it's incredible, like, how good it is for your health. Let's just say that, right? Like, when you're having a bit of a
It makes you smile. I've always said that, like, there's this, like, Nintendo joyous vibe you get when you just be happy. I find myself smiling so often when I play those games, but it's Mario or something. Yeah. They just get it, don't you? Have to make you feel happy. They're really good at that.
It's just phenomenal that, like, you know, so far into this franchise, like, that they can bring Mario still, like, out into the world with, like, the most bare bones story. And, like, you can just accept it because everything else is just 10 out of 10. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's the fact that they can conquer that is just something else. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I think this package, this release is absolutely amazing. And like 3D World, it's great. It is great. I remember it very well. I getting the package itself, I kind of went, I'm excited to play this now again. You know, it's been a good few years. As soon as I booted it up, everything came back very quickly. It was probably, I think, when it came out, my game of the year that year. But yeah, it's just a stellar set of package, and I just wish Nintendo would do that for a lot of their like big mascots. You know, they just mm-hmm. need to keep going with it. You know, it's fantastic, and everyone should play Bowser's Fury, and 100% because it's worth every minute.
I definitely will be, mate. Definitely. Yeah. What else have you been playing, mate?
Oh, here. Right. There's a game coming out soon on the Switch again called Bravely Default 2. And yes. I dived into this final demo. A lot of finals coming out of this game now. We got a final trailer after the conferences or the direct as well. And I was very cold in that first demo because that demo, it ran like poopy bum bum, and like I wasn't feeling it. The difficulty was all over the shop, and I didn't know what they were trying to sell for people who've never really been that into RPG games and or JRPG games and all these kind of things. Because like they are saying you don't have to play the other games for this. It's just a standalone story, all that jazz. Off you go. from the first demo to this one, it's you get 5 hours of playtime. Save does not carry over. Mistake number one, straight away. Because
it's a lot of time to invest, isn't it?
It's a lot of time. It's a lot of time in this kind of game to give. And like, you don't know what to do. Like, as soon as you start that demo, your timer starts. So every bit of faffing around you do in the inventory system and like reading tutorials and stuff, it's counting down. And it starts off in chapter one. You go into this new like area, and as soon as you walk in, there's NPCs everywhere with little bubbles over their heads delivering some sort of dialogue that you can take in. And I'm like, well, do I want to do this now? Or do I, like, it's very tricky because you don't want to like rush the demo for the sake of the demo being only 5 hours. But then at the same time, you're kind of going, none of this is going to carry over. So what way am I supposed to play this? So I kind of just started like going around, seeing how it runs way better, definitely. That's one thing they've improved on, I feel. It looks very well. I think the actual characters look better than others at times. Some of the models just look really...
Oh, like the main characters look better than the NPCs.
Yeah, I don't know, when they're talking, some of them just look really... It's a bizarre texture that's on each character. I can't explain it. It looks great, like, you know, but it's very peculiar style for each character. But I kind of like was jumping around, seeing all that, like loving the way it was designed. And then I said I'd go out into the open world, do a few battles and stuff. And like, here's the thing with Bravely Default 2 is that like the battles are, the system is cool. I won't go into that, but like the system is cool. The Bravely Default system, it's a really cool idea. But like, they're long battles. They feel long because there's so much depth put into the characters, like form of attack, that like I'm kind of going, what's the best thing to do here? Do I check out what weaknesses these monsters have first, and then do I stack a default thing on top, or what do I do? Like, do I gamble a brave kind of thing? And you're kind of it's very deep, and then it's like it felt immediately challenging. Straight away. And like, I'm not saying that's a problem for me, but like, this was chapter one and I was feeling the pressure already. Like, I wasn't like getting like one hit, bang, dead. That wasn't the case. But you know, like, do you know when you start a normal, start a lot of JRPGs in general, do you know, the first round of fights are like one hit kill.
XP galore.
That's what you're getting. Items and stuff. It's not the case here. It wasn't the case. Like, I was like, it felt like I had to really think about my strategy straight away, which I know, I can't stress enough, it's not a criticism. I'm not saying I want the game to be easy, but I'm just kind of, it's a peculiar choice from the word go, considering they are telling people that they can play this game if you haven't played this franchise before, that it is for a lot of newcomers and things. And I just wonder, like, is this for diehards of this type of game, or is it for everyone? Because they're pushing it. They're pushing Bravely Default 2. Like, there's a lot. Like, it's not that they're not going to push the game, but, you know, they seem like they're not, it's not that they're not confident, but they feel like they're really trying to make a great game for a lot of people. And I'm interested to see, like, I don't know how I feel about how I'll feel about the game day one. Will I want this game day one? Will I want to put all these hours in? Because story-wise, shit, like, you know, like, the story is, you got a couple of crystals. Let's get some crystals and sort out the world. Like, you know, I'm not saying...
No,
like,
JRPG stuff you can write yourself, can't you, I suppose?
Yeah, like, it's not a bad thing as such, you know, but like, when you're putting hours and hours into these types of games, like, in my head I'm kind of going, Adam, you need to go back and play Persona 5 and spend your time doing that kind of one, you know. But I'll see. I think it's just like, I don't think I've played a game of this level on Switch since Octopath Traveler, you know. I don't think I've gotten, like, I know there's been Tokyo Mirage and stuff, I still have to play that and whatever, but and World Ends with You and all those, but this is a brand new Switch game, and it's very hard to not get it, let's say. Like, you know, and the demo, I wouldn't say it's like sold to me. on getting it day one. It's definitely made me happier in terms of its improvements from the first demo. But I feel that game 40 hours in might absolutely destroy my brain in terms of its difficulty if I think it's going to be as hard as it is.
Have you spent the whole 5 hours of it then?
No, I didn't, because I didn't want to, because that's the problem. If I was going to get this game, I didn't want to spend 5 hours and repeat those 5 hours again.
Yeah, no, I was just curious if you faced any of the kind of bosses from that demo.
I fought one boss, all right, and he killed me first. I was just like, Jesus. I spent a lot more time in the battles. I really did. But yeah, I don't know, like, it's a tricky one. It's a very, very tricky one. Mm. I never like, I love these games with this challenge, but Jesus, sometimes, you know, like, we've all been there when a JRPG hens you a serious hammering and you've to spend nearly 10 hours in just playing battles over and over and over. I know people like grinding sometimes, but like, Jesus, I don't want to be punished.
I feel we're in a different world now where these games are few and far between. And at least if there is grinding in video games, there's more to do, or there's a purpose to it other than just to level up to defeat a boss. Like in a preview sense, up to the end of chapter two, like I spent a lot of time kind of grinding because I had to kind of get the most out of it so I could write about it. But it was getting to a point where I was really kind of struggling. So it'll be interesting when the full game comes out, what people's opinions are going to be, because I don't know how well it's going to do.
I think, like, for me, like, grinding is fine in a JRPG if it doesn't feel like it's 100% necessary just to progress, and it's not just grinding on its own. Like, I'm fine in a JRPG if it's like optional side quests are where you end up getting your extra XP to come over a boss in the story mode, or if there's rewards for exploring, and so therefore you go and do that, and while you're doing that you're battling, and therefore you're grinding by proxy. Yeah. Like that I'm absolutely fine with, because I can get invested in the purpose of what I'm doing. If what I'm having to do is literally I have to go around the same map I've been and the only reason I'm doing it is because I'm hitting a brick wall of a boss that mathematically I can't beat because I'm not high enough level or whatever, then for me that feels like bad design. Now, I have not played it, so I don't know. I kind of do want to play the demo to see if you guys are just really bad at games and I'll be okay. But I get the vibe that it's more fundamental than that, so I'd want to kind of try it for myself.
My takeaway as well was, like, I felt that every battle, every enemy you see, because you can see the enemies on the map, you can run away from them and stuff. I feel like you should never run away. You should always do, like, it feels like you should do every battle that you see. Yeah. Because you need to. That's what was coming into play here. Do you know, sometimes you want to just skip by because you're like, oh, look, the objective is just there. I'm just going to go there. But then, you know, I just feel like, and I think, like, they focus on the Bravely and Default gameplay mechanic. Like, that's what they really want you to get involved with. And, like, there is a lot of play around with the characters, and there's a lot of cool customizing and stuff like that. So, I think it can go pretty deep, and I think a lot of, like, hardcore JRPG fans are going to enjoy that, you know. But right now, it's like maybe not what I would want straight away, you know. But we'll see. We'll see.
It's not long till it's out, right?
I think it's like
26th.
End of the month.
Week.
Yeah. I don't know what you've just said there, but I think it's the end of this month, isn't it?
It is tomorrow week. Yeah. Yeah.
It's either tomorrow or it's a week, whatever. Anyway. Okay, so we've got some listener correspondence here, some questions to talk through. So this is a thing now, apparently, that the people on our Patreon Discord change their names, so we have to read out their new names when we go through their questions. So in
this was about.
Yeah. So in that vein, Deadbeat Penis asks.
Hey.
I know. Hilarious. So, right, lads. Situation: zombie outbreak. What would your weapon of choice be, and where would you set up base?
Easy. My weapons of choice would be Malcolm and Arnold. Malcolm, Arnold. Use my fist, mate. Knock him out. Won't need a weapon.
Knock him out.
It's a crap answer, but I kind of feel like Shaun of the Dead, baseball bat, and Winchester is not a bad shout. Just get a baseball bat, chip off down a pub, and just wait for the whole thing to blow over. Mm. It's not a bad answer. But I feel like a baseball bat is a solid weapon against zombies, though. I don't know if it's games have taught me that guns aren't that great against zombies, but I feel like a swift baseball bat to the face.
Negan always had it right for me in Walking Dead when he wrapped his baseball bat in barbed wire.
Yeah.
Because the barbed wire, if you bang it in enough, it'll stick in there. So you've got a good solid weapon. And then if you've got like a proper baseball bat, not like some shitty one, like solid wood will fucking do some damage.
Yeah.
And you could use it like if they're in close proximity, you could use kind of like the pommel of it and just
Really thought about this. I like this.
Yeah, well, you've got it, haven't you?
Yeah,
that's give good. Deadbeat Penis a proper answer.
Proper answer.
Yeah.
What about you, Mr. Carroll?
I like your idea of the pub. pub. I go down there and then weapon of choice. I don't know what even it would look like, but it sounds like a good weapon would be a deadbeat penis.
Just a chock off dildo with may or not, may not have barbed wire on the end.
Sure, why not? It just flaps around the gaff, whipping everyone everywhere. Brilliant.
Good idea.
Amazing. Well, I think hopefully that's a good answer to your question, Mr. Penis. McPoo asks, what's the worst console controller you've ever used? And then as a bonus question, G-Town Big Potatoes asks, in contrast to McPoo's question, what controller is the best controller you've ever used? So, worst controller and best controller, lads.
Dreamcast.
For which one?
Ooh. Worst. Clunky, okay. Big piece of shit. Hated it. So, yeah, Dreamcast for me.
I'll mention my worst as well. My worst is the Master System 2.
Oh, yeah.
That D-pad.
Yeah.
That D-pad.
I'm going to be controversial and go Wii U. That controller weighs about 8 tons.
Yeah, that was pretty...
The actual pad.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, that's the controller, isn't it? Like,
yes.
That's literally it.
Yeah, it was.
It's not like Joy-Con. It's so confused. You're like, hang on, is it a Switch? No, that's the whole point. It's a Switch without Joy-Con. So you're literally going, this thing weighs a flipping ton. And then they make you do all that stuff in-game. And stuff. So... It was a nice idea and it led to the Switch. But yeah, for me, the Wii U was very unwieldy and really heavy. Best, guys?
So, I'm not going to be controversial because it's a valid opinion. I would say the Xbox Series X.
Okay.
I genuinely love how that controller feels in my hands. And I would pick it over the PlayStation 5. Because, like, with the PlayStation 5, it feels amazing. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. But I'm starting to get a bit annoyed with some of the ways games are implementing this.
Trigger.
The adaptive triggers.
Yeah. Especially FIFA. It really winds me up. Especially when you get fatigued. It's like trying to move a truck with your finger.
So, I know that, yes. I mean, it doesn't bother me as much, but I know a lot of my friends who I play FIFA with, they like to turn it off straight away. Because I think they get annoyed by the, like you say, the fatigue. It's like harder to run and
some
stuff.
Games, like the vibrations, like for DualSense, with NBA, my God. Like, you put it on a table and it shoots off after like 2 seconds. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So I'm just like, I mean, you turn that off and it's brilliant, but I still would pick the Xbox Series X or S.
Can I quickly say there, just on the DualSense talk, am I the only one that finds that the battery of the DualSense is crap?
It is.
No,
yeah.
You do need to charge it fairly frequently.
I thought mine was going a bit kaput. But
if your frame of reference is the Switch Pro controller, then you're going to be very disappointed with how long the DualSense lasts. Mm. I think about this. First off, I'm just going to shout and go, I adored the WaveBird controller, which was the wireless GameCube one. I felt like that was molded really well. But I think, actually, all three current gen consoles, so the Switch Pro one is lovely. That's a lovely controller. But I also think the DualSense and the Xbox Series X controllers are lovely as well. The Xbox one, I agree with you, it's like weighty and meaty and the shape of it's lovely. But I actually I'm still in love with the DualSense in terms of I get what you mean in terms of there are some games where they go to town a bit too much on the vibration part, but I think it's very clever. I think there's going to be things that are done with it.
Yeah, it's still later. In the experimental stage,
yeah, which
isn't
I think
it?
Is, so. Which, and I don't think you can discount the no. features because they are well implemented, and it does feel like a solid piece of kit, probably more solid than previous PlayStation controllers, quite frankly, that feel like when I get a bit of a rage when I'm not very good at games, it doesn't feel like this one's going to snap in half. But so yeah, this feels like a good generation for controllers, if I'm honest. There's some good quality controllers out there.
Yeah.
Adam? God bless controllers.
Your best one?
I'm going to probably say the Switch Pro.
Yeah.
I love it. I love the Switch Pro. I love the DualSense. And I know I haven't had a chance to pick up the new Xbox One or see it even. But like, I remember like picking up the Elite Xbox controller and being like, oh, that's a tasty controller too. But if I'm honest, in my top three, it would be like Switch Pro, DualSense. And then like, I just love the GameCube controller.
Yeah.
That's probably the lowest controller you could ever play. But like, I love it.
Yeah. Okie doke. So Kira Dales 96 asks, says, last week you spoke about possible delays that could ruin your year. Hogwarts Legacy was my devastating but expected delay. What are your thoughts on the game and what type of game do you think it will be?
I am really looking forward to it. I love Harry Potter. As the films, I've never read the books. Well, I've watched the films. My wife's obsessed with them, so I start watching them, and I really enjoy them. So, in terms of the game, like I'm hoping it's not open world, like Witcher open world, where it may be set in different kind of settings. So there's Hogwarts, and then there's like the woods. There's like downtown London would be quite cool, and not featuring any of the main kind of like the main, like set in a different year. Different time, but you've still got like Hagrid, and that would be cool. But I'm happy for it to kind of go like nice 40-50 hour game set in like a Witcher inspired open world. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, actually. I was a bit gutted it was delayed.
I'd be saying with you, Chris. Do you know what I think when I think about Hogwarts Legacy? I'd be like, imagine if they nail Quidditch in it. Oh, imagine if God they nail almighty. It so much that people are just like. Quidditch, though. Quidditch is the business. And like everyone was just becoming like ridiculously into it. That would be so cool if something like that became massive.
I hope they do.
And like that was a takeaway. Yeah, because I remember playing like, I don't know what Harry Potter game it was. It might have been Philosopher's Stone on PlayStation 1 anyway. It was one of the PS1 games. And Quidditch was in it and I remember it being banging. Probably looks like snow.
Yeah, but, I want that. No, you've said it.
Yeah.
And I want it to be like Bully. So you've got all Fire Emblem, where you go to lessons and stuff. But then, like, in your downtime, you get to... Yeah, I think they could do a lot with it. You just got to get past what everyone thinks about the author. And remember...
I had to bring it up, didn't you?
Well, no, I just want to say, remember what this franchise has done for people. It turned a lot of people onto reading. It brought a lot more children into literature. Its world, like through the films, yes, the books is the source material, but the films, people love going, like visiting these places, and it does a lot for people's mental health. I don't want to get too what's it, but like people need to remember that not about who created it, but what it is now, and like it brings a lot of joy to people. So I think. If people do that with Hogwarts Legacy, which they won't because that's the social media world, but it could be really good.
I mean, I think I would say what I have seen and heard from people has been incredibly positive for this game. It is not one for me. I'm not a Harry Potter fan, but I have friends who cannot wait for this game, and I think were equally as disappointed as Kira that it got delayed. And I think... But certainly from what I've seen, which is quite refreshing, I've seen more positive hopefulness about what this game could be than that negative side, which I think is absolutely right because you've nailed it. It provides a lot of enjoyment, a lot of people connected with the characters and the setting for a lot of good reasons. And they still do. And I think you shouldn't forget that. And I don't think a lot of people have, and I think a lot of people will get a lot of fun out of this game, whatever it ends up being.
Yeah, and they could really shit on it, but on J.K. Rowling by making one of the characters trans. I think that'd be amazing. Fuck you, J.K. Rowling.
Harry, he's a great boy.
He's a wizard, Harry. last question is going. Retracing a little bit, but we never actually answered this question. I'm guessing probably not one for Chris White, but Matt King asked, regarding Skyward Sword HD, motion controls as God intended, or work around make-do stick sword swings? So obviously this is the point where you can now map it to the right stick or still use the motion controls on the Joy-Con. So I guess, Adam Carroll, as someone that's looking forward to this, what do you think you're going to go for?
I'll go for the newer set of controls, I feel, because I don't think I actually haven't like played really anything with the Switch, the Joy-Cons just separately. I just never have. I think I did like the demo of ARMS and maybe some Mario Kart when I had to do it when we were short controllers, but that's about it. It's not my choice. I don't really like it, but if that was the only option, like, I'll definitely see how it plays out in the new way. And if I'm like, this works perfectly, I'll go grand. But if not, I'll just go back to the other one and then I'll play it with the Joy-Con separate, you know. I think whoever's going in first is go for whatever you think you feel is going to be the one, you know.
Yeah.
I also play my Switch a lot of the time handheld.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to be doing it that way at all.
Yeah, I think there will be people that who play a lot more with their Joy-Cons and the motion controls. And if you do that, go for it. See how you get on. I think personally, with the length of the game and how much it comes up, I'm going to stick to the new right stick mapping personally. Yeah. If and when I play it, which I think I will. I think I will get it. It might not be a launch game for me, but I think I will get the HD
version. Oh, it will.
So that would be it for me, and that would be what I would do. But and it would also be my recommendation, because I think the game is too long to be flailing about. But if you've not tried it, then fill your boots, see which one you like. I'm guessing you can switch between them. You don't have to go, I've got to commit the next 40 hours to this control method. I'm guessing you can just change it in the options menu. So try the motion control. If it's not for you, then switch it to the stick. I feel like the stick's probably, we didn't really talk about it, but I feel like it's a decent middle ground option of the way in which I can't think of many other options that they could have gone with that wouldn't mean you couldn't then, because if you use buttons, then the items are going to be used for buttons. So I feel like the stick was probably the only way they could have done it. So
I actually just thought there that I'm very curious to see will they tighten up the motion for this HD one, like, because it's not that it's like all over the place. But it definitely could be that little bit tighter.
Even with the Wii Motion Plus, there were times when I was swinging and he'd do the Link would do the opposite thing.
Yeah,
and that's Link's fault and not mine. but yeah, so you would hope with a stick press that would happen less.
Mm-hmm.
But it did. I will say it did look impressive the way the guy was swinging the Joy-Con and how representative it seemed to be on the screen. Like, it wasn't just, you know, the eight compass directions kind of thing. It felt a lot more fluid than that. So if that's true of the game, that's quite impressive. Yeah. So that would be interesting to see how true it is when it comes out. Guys, I think that's the end of the podcast for this week. It's been lovely. Yeah, thanks, Chris. Appreciate that.
It's all right.
It's been a good conversation. If you've enjoyed the podcast, then go and check us out at godisageek.com. We've got all the latest news, reviews and previews on there. We're also on all the social media channels. So check us out on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, and just drop us a message. We'd love to hear from you. If you're watching the video version on YouTube, then give us a lovely thumbs up and a subscribe and hit the bell button so you don't miss when we next drop a video. If this has been something that you've enjoyed and you want to support us more, Adam did mention it earlier, but we do have a Patreon where for just $1 a month you can get a lot more extra content. You can join our Patreon Discord channel full of lovable characters who ask us difficult questions and put funny names against their profiles. As we also do exclusive content, an exclusive podcast just for our patrons, and we do co-drops as well. So we think it's really good value for the $1 a month. So if that sounds like something you'd like to get into, then please do that. We really appreciate your support. But that's it. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you whenever you choose to listen. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.